Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's always good to see you. We're turning to John chapter 19, and it's the verses 26 and 27 that we're considering. We'll read those verses now. John 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. May the Lord bless us today as we take another look at these words. We have been following the theme that here in these words there is presented to us examples. Yesterday we looked at how these words present an example for mothers, and I hope that it was a benefit to you all, whether you're a mummy or not, because such are the words of the Lord Jesus that they have a very wide application. He may be speaking to an old man, but there's that which a young man can learn. He may be speaking to a lady, but there's that which men can learn from the words spoken to a lady. And that's why I say the words of the Lord Jesus have a wonderfully wide application. There are some ointments made that can be applied to a number of sores. I think of the ointment known as germaline. You may know much about it, but I'll guarantee that Mum has rubbed some of it on all of you at one time or another. And it has a wide application, but not nearly so wide an application as the ointment of God's word. There's not a spiritual sore or hurt or injury that comes upon us, but you'll find ease and healing in the word of God. This morning we're going to look at these words and see here an example for disciples. Disciples of Christ can learn from these words. You will have noted, of course, that word disciple appeared in the text, didn't you? It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, So boys and girls, we're going to look first of all at the fact that here is an example for all of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And some of you are disciples of the Lord Jesus. You're very young disciples, but nevertheless you're disciples. The word simply refers to someone who's a follower, a believer in the Lord Jesus, one who seeks to obey him. And that fits most of you here today, for which we praise the Lord. So, as we've already noticed, Jesus therefore saw the disciple standing by whom he loved. The Lord Jesus loved the disciple. He was John. I've told you that. John describes himself here under the phrase, whom he loved. He could have said, the Lord Jesus saw the disciple John. He could have said that. But bringing up in John's mind and taking first place before his name, he thought of the fact, the Lord loves me. And that's how he described himself. I'm a disciple that the Lord loved. Now, let's learn that there is nothing that denotes our love for the Lord Jesus than our standing with him in the day of his reproach and shame. The Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was the subject of mockery by the vast majority of people living in Jerusalem. Religious leaders, they were there. The prominent people out of the temple, they were there mocking. But John was there siding with the Lord Jesus, standing by, as our text says. Boys and girls, listen to me. This is a day when the Lord Jesus is mocked. I just wrote an article. In fact, I'm adding a bit to it today in response to the wicked things that the head of the Roman Catholic Church, the head of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, and the head of the Church of England had to say in recent days. What they had to say was a mocking of the Lord Jesus, just the same as those who gathered round the cross. They were speaking in the same tone, in the same spirit. They mocked God, mocked his justice, mocked his law, called him all sorts of names by implication. And of course, that's not new. That has been happening since the fall of man into sin. It reached its peak around the cross. And it's rising again today. And it will come to another peak in the not too distant future, I believe. In the days of the Antichrist, men mock the Lord. And nothing will show your love for the Savior more than you standing with him. Like John, he stood up there, and I think I can say his shoulder almost was touching the cross, identifying himself. I'm with him, he was saying, as it were. I'm one of his. Now, he had tried to deny that a short time before. He had run away. He had forsaken the Lord Jesus, as had all the apostles. But now, by the grace of God, he's taking a stand. And he couldn't have taken a stronger stand than that of standing by the Savior as he was crucified. That's our duty today. That's our duty today. Listen to these words found in a favorite verse of mine, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and Paul the Apostle is speaking. It's an easy text to remember because it's Hebrews 13 and the verse 13. Hebrews 13, verse 13. And here's what Paul says. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Not too many words, but oh, there's so much there. There's so much there. It is the Christian's duty to go and stand with Christ and bear his reproach. Bear the shame that was heaped upon him. Take it on ourselves. Wear it with joy. That's what John was doing. Oh, John, if I might suggest to you, was not standing there trembling and saying, I hope nobody sees me. No. He was standing up straight and bold. And he was wanting people to see him and wanting people to realize, I'm one of his. I'm one of Christ's followers. I'm one of Christ's followers. That's what Hebrews 13, verse 13 is telling us. Let us go therefore unto him. Where is he? Without the camp. Outside the camp. That's a reference, of course, to the camp of Israel in times past. And outside the camp was a place of reproach, place of shame. And if you're going to stand for the Lord Jesus today, you're going to have to go to the place of shame. Not the place where everybody applauds you. Everybody says, what a wonderful fellow. But the place where people will look on you and say, what a fool. Look at what he believes and stands for. He believes the Bible. What a fool. That's the place of reproach, boys and girls. Don't you ever be ashamed of that book or the one who is set forth in it. John wasn't. He was bold. I'm glad to say that this school stands outside the camp. This church stands outside the camp. That is the official position of the Free Presbyterian Church, outside the camp, separated from the religious trends of today. Oh, I hope that it will always be your place. Because when you leave school and reach maturity and take up employment, there will be plenty of pressures on you to leave the place of reproach and shame, to leave Christ's side and join the world. Plenty of pressure to do that. We look back over the years in which boys and girls have been gathered here, and there's all too many of them. When they left school, went into employment, they also left off following the Lord Jesus. That has happened everywhere the gospel is preached. There are those who step forward and say, yes, I'm for Christ. But then pressure comes on them and they back off. They back off. Like that spoken of in the parable of the sower taught by the Lord Jesus. There were those seeds that fell on shallow ground and they grew up quickly. But when the sun came up and they felt its heat, they withered away and came to nothing. Withered away. And there's all too many who profess faith in Christ but wither away when the pressure of the world comes upon them. But John isn't here withering. Though he might have dithered for a time, but he's not dithering now. He's standing there below the Saviour in the place of reproach. I think we should learn something else by way of an example here. Disciples should understand that there are mothers to be cared for who are not in their family. The Lord Jesus said to John, behold your mother. But John could have said, but this is not my mother. This is not my mommy. But he understood what the Lord meant. The Lord Jesus was saying, John, I want you to treat my mother, Mary, as your mother from now on. From now on. I was thinking last night, before I went to sleep, that there were others in the family of the Lord Jesus. Mary had other sons as well as the Lord Jesus. Sons born unto her and Joseph. But the Lord Jesus didn't say to those who were, I think I'd be right in saying, his half-brothers, born of the same mother, but their father was Joseph. Whereas the Lord Jesus, Joseph wasn't his father. So they were half-brothers. But the Lord Jesus didn't say to them, even though it's made clear in the scriptures that they too came to faith in Christ, he didn't say to them, you look after mommy. You look after her now that I'm gone. But he said to John. He said to John. And I think in so doing, he is letting us know, as Christians, that we ought to look around us and see there those who, while they're not actually our mothers, nevertheless we should treat them as such and care for them. Care for them. If the Church of Jesus Christ did that, there would be far fewer in nursing homes or retirement homes. It's a practice that has become very common in these days. Mothers and fathers put into retirement homes. Now, I know that there are times when such is the need, the medical needs of a mother or a father, that the very best place for them is in a nursing home because their children just couldn't give them the care that they need. But in many, many other instances, boys and girls, and you will learn this as you grow older, mothers and fathers are dumped into retirement homes because the children can't be bothered looking after. I'll always remember visiting one of the nursing homes in this area, retirement homes, speaking with a nurse who was a Christian, I knew her, and she pointed to an old fellow sitting in the corner, and she says, no one ever comes to visit him, even though his family only lived down the road. He was just abandoned. The family couldn't be bothered with it. Oh, never let that be so with you. Not only for your natural mum and dad, but for other elderly people around. Show concern. Show love toward them. And that's what John is required to do here. Look after Mary like she was your mother. We ought to recall the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. Would you turn back to there, you older ones? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, right towards the end of the chapter. Verse 46 says, he's talking with disciples. He's preaching. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. That's the old-fashioned way of saying outside. Outside the building where he was speaking. Desiring to speak with him. They wanted to see him. Then one said unto him, one of those who were in the place, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Isn't that a funny thing to say? Who is my mother? The Savior is saying, now, just exactly who is it that I should look upon as my mother? And he goes on. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Isn't it wonderful that we hold this relationship with the Lord Jesus? If you're saved and you are a disciple, you're part of the family. And the Lord Jesus looks upon you as a brother or a sister or a mother. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how he cares for you. And when he said to John, as he did on the cross, behold thy mother, he was asking John to take the same attitude as he himself showed. Just as the Lord Jesus looks upon all his disciples and sees his family, so we should look upon disciples and see our family. Not strangers. Not just people we meet in church, but family. But family. Oh, what love should exist between Christians. And yet, boys and girls, it is sadly absent at times among God's people. Paul the Apostle, when he urged upon those to whom he was writing in Romans chapter 12, again, very famous portion. He's urging upon the Christians in Rome, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to notice the argument that Paul uses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God, give yourself to the Lord. Now, where were the mercies of God best put on display? At the cross. That's where we see God's mercy in its fullest, clearest manifestation. And therefore, just as John was standing at the cross and seeing the love of God set forth in the dying form of his Savior, so he was persuaded to readily obey the Lord and take Mary into his home. Oh, that's what the Lord wants. And I hope that you, from this day, will look upon all other believers in a new way. They're your family. One last thing. Note the wholeheartedness of John's response. He never said a word. He didn't say, wait a minute. Our house is full. I don't know where we'll put your mother, Mary. This would be very awkward. No, he didn't say that. But rather we read, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. That disciple took her into his own home. From that hour, immediate response. Maybe, and here, I'm giving way to my imagination again. But maybe when the Lord Jesus said to John, behold your mother, he reached out and he put his arm around her shoulder and gave her a wee squeeze. I feel he did that. John was the apostle of love. That is, he, in his writings, spoke so often of the love of God. And as he himself says, he was the disciple the Lord loved. And he was a man of love. He had a tender heart. And I have no doubt he put his arm around Mary, gave her a wee hug, just to let her know he was from that moment going to be looking after her. He took her to his home. He took her to his home. He could not really give her any more than that. He took her into his home. He took her into his home. He didn't find a room in a hotel or a boarding house for her, no. Well, that might have been, in a measure, an act of kindness, but he went far further. He took her into his home. And it has to be said that all in John's home welcomed her. Welcomed her. Oh, boys and girls, what unity there ought to be amongst the people of God. We're a family. In heaven, we'll be there as a family. If you're saved, you'll see me and I'll see you as a member of the family. Oh, we might be a little separated today. You might have a different name from me. But in heaven, there, in the fullest fashion, we'll all be one family. And it's foreshadowed here in the words of the Lord Jesus. Behold thy mother. That's the way you ought to look on other Christians, part of your family. May you do so. May you have a soft and tender and loving heart for the family of God. Well, may the Lord bless his word to you all today. We're going to close with a wee word of prayer. Let's all bow in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, give understanding to the boys and girls, warm their hearts one toward another, Lord. May what is written here in our text find a place in their hearts. Answer prayer for us. Bless us, we ask. And we commit the school afresh to thee, Lord, and thank thee for your mercy and kindness. Aye, it's abiding. It never changes. We may doubt and fear, and we may imagine we see changes. Lord, thy love is on, changing and abiding. Take care of the school in these trying times. Bless us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.